I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com. Today on the TV Time Machine, we are pleased to welcome Len Edmondson of Biker Battleground Phoenix. Mr. Edmondson is an award-winning bike builder and is owner of one of the nation's top custom motorcycle shops. Over the next segment, Len Edmondson will talk about this new series featuring custom bike builders battling it out, which airs Tuesdays at 10 p.m. only on History. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to experience a 100,000 bagger, feel free to be chopper at the bit as we break down the past so we can build ourselves up in the present. Len, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Now, Len, tell us what Biker Battleground Phoenix is all about.
Well, basically, it's five builders in Phoenix that are competing against each other. And I guess the competition with the builders is different with the customer. But, you know, everybody's trying to create that product that's going to take them to the next level or unique, stand out amongst that level of competition. So you've got, one of our builders builds out of his garage. One is a younger guy that's building a fairly substantial business. You know, his style is more into the stereo stuff.
Right.
He's got to create his product, you know, and get his music in there. And then you got three builders that manufacture products and build high-level bikes and have been doing it for some time. So they're trying to build product, in our case anyways, for the blue-collar worker that, you know, can actually see himself at some point taking his Harley that he's paid off and having his dream bike.
Now, in terms of the competition on the show, what gives you the edge?
We do everything in-house. So we manufacture our own parts line. So we have that in-house on the shelf, and we do everything from frame to paint. And the paint makes us unique. We don't outsource the paint. We do it ourselves. So that's the final. It's like being naked and putting the dress on.
Right.
That's the final touch of the bike, and we wanted that to be ours, so we just developed our business so that, you know, we had paint in-house, and that kind of gives us the edge.
Now, you mentioned the other guys. How would you describe your personal relationships with them as well as the business relationships?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's use the term 9-to-5. There's no holds barred. I mean, everybody is doing what they can for their business. So that's the responsibility. So it's very competitive. I'm close friends with one of the other builders, and we get along famously. But, you know, when it comes to work, there's no holds barred. You know, we're doing what we have to do in our business, and that's what makes us better at what we do. And we both know that. So that's what it is. You know, what the show shows you is the intensity of what it takes to build this stuff in the shop, what it takes to market and brand your business, and the lengths we go to extend our arms, you know, out into the people, and then kind of the lifestyle that goes around with it. And this business is something. If you're in this business, you live it 24/7. If you don't, you're not in it for the right reason, and you will not do well at it. So,
yes, what inspired you to enter the bike business?
Well, I mean, it's a passion. I built a substantial construction business in Canada. I started, you know, while I had that, I started Askicker in 2004. But I've always, you know, went home after work and always had that project on the go. I've had projects on the go in my garage since I was 14. So, you know, I started with hot rods and bought a car. I couldn't afford to build it. Well, I found that out after I, you know, barely scraped together to buy the car. I traded the car for a bike because I could afford to finish the bike, and that's what got me into riding. And riding is one way or the other. You either love it or you hate it. There's no in-between. The enthusiast that really, you know, the real motorcycle enthusiast, that guy loves to ride. So,
what's the thing that you love most about that kind of lifestyle?
Well, it's not necessarily the lifestyle if you're an enthusiast, right?
Right.
You can be a lawyer 9-to-5 and be an enthusiast the rest of the time. And when you're working, you're thinking about it. So your release is that riding. what you're doing, that hobby, that passion, that building. So anybody that builds hot rods or muscle cars or motorcycles or boats, you know, they can be a high-end corporate professional. And what they're thinking about in their thoughts throughout the day is that project or what they're doing. You know, I had the opportunity to exit my business in 2010. All I wanted to do was go to my shop and build another bike.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm retired, but it's just a different type of retiring. Now I'm doing something that I love, and my passion is getting up every morning and going somewhere I want to go to create that next product.
Now, when you're building a bike, how do you strike the balance of creating something amazing with creating something rideable?
Well, first of all, custom has to be a performance enhancement. So I guess custom paint, you have to make it more durable. But when you're recreating the whole bike, you're starting with the engineering. So you get the vision and you do a hand rendering first of what you're doing. Once you nail it down, you do a 3D composite so everything's in scale, and then you recreate that product. And it's the biggest challenge is taking that engineering and getting that look and improving on the domestic product that you're working on. So if that puts it in a nutshell, that's the challenge.
So what is the most ambitious bike project you've ever taken on?
I would say we won Baddest Bagger with a project called the Knuckle Dragger last year. We took an 09 Street Glide. We used about 5 pounds of the swing arm and the serial number, and then recreated the whole frame right to paint in our shop. We created 3 or 4 products on it that we now manufacture, and we hand-built everything else from the front end to the back. The only thing we didn't build in the shop was the wheel, but the manufacturer I picked to build the wheels with, this was Mad Wheels out of California. Actually, after we did the rendering, I had to send him a picture of the rendering. I said, can you build this wheel? And he laughed. He said, if you can build the bike, I can build the wheel. All right, start on the wheel. And this is, I gave him the specs on the wheel and fired that to him while we were talking on the phone through email. I fired off the specs to the wheel. And he goes, you're serious. I said, yeah, I'm serious. And I got about 12 weeks to do this for the Sturgis competition. He actually flew in the wheel about 4 days before we had to leave for Sturgis.
Wow.
So it was a total recreation. We went to Sturgis. We won the Baddest Bagger competition and then won Baddest Bagger of the Year. And that, by the way, is the only recognized competition high-level builders will go to. And it was an industry changer. Now I look at Sturgis this year for Baddest Bagger, and I'm kind of watching what the premier builders are building.
Right.
They're all doing the same thing. They're right out of the box. They're coming with stuff that's way more creative than it was in the past. It was almost getting cookie cutter. So if not anything else, when you have an impact in an industry, that becomes your greatest achievement. And so that's why it was for me.
What's the most challenging aspect of building a bike?
Getting the aesthetics that you want, that visual, and creating the engineering that goes with it to make it a performance enhancement for the customer at the end or the person that's doing it. So you can't build something custom that they call a trailer queen that, yeah, it looks sexy, it looks gorgeous, but you can't ride it 10 miles. So the challenging aspect is to create something that someone you know is going to spend disposable income on, that he's going to get added value for, it's not going to sit in his garage. And for us, we strive. We have what we call a 10-point refund. If we don't deliver a 10-point bike to our customer, we own it. If he doesn't like it, he doesn't think we build it to the level we say we can build it to, we own it. So if I'm building a guy a $100,000 bike that he wants, that bike, I got to make sure that I'm building it to a level where if he doesn't want it, damn it, I'll take it anyway.
Exactly. Hey, Len, what should viewers expect to experience when they tune into Biker Battleground Phoenix?
Okay, now respect the fact I haven't seen an episode yet. I've seen is what every other viewer saw as the commercials.
Right.
All I know is they had about 112 people on this for the peak, it'd be 8 to 10 week period. that still had an immense amount of people around for pickups. We do our final filming in Sturgis for the final episodes. So the effort that they've put into it, and everything I've seen, like, I'm running into people I don't know already that are saying, hey, you're on Biker Battleground Phoenix. Like,
right.
They've got it out there. They have, and with the level of and the quality of people that I met during the filming season one, I never met one person that was inappropriate or anything like that through History Channel. Everybody was first class. Everybody was focused on their job. These guys are going to put out an intense product. They've got great content to make a world-class show. And I don't think it's going to be anything less than that. I think the History Channel was that good.
Len, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you on board the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
Is Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonbeth.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television. Capturing television history, one voice at a time.